Our next guest read the entire encyclopedia from A to Z and lived to tell about it and write about it. A.J. Jacobs is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Know-It-All, One Man's Humble Quest to Become the Smartest Person in the World, which is now out in paperback. He's a return guest on our show. He joins us from his home in New York City. A.J. Jacobs, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you for having me.
A.J., you will remember the Motley Fool Radio Show is a business-focused and stock market-focused show. So let's talk about a few business lessons that you've picked up from your reading. Would you share a few?
Of course. One thing is that you should look for business ideas everywhere. Inspiration doesn't come out of the blue. You have to be on the lookout for it. And one story I learned in the encyclopedia was about a Swiss man named Georges de Mestral. And in 1948, he took his dog out for a walk, and he got home, and there were all sorts of burrs clinging to the dog's fur. And as he was cleaning the burrs off the fur, he noticed how the hooks of the burrs clung to the fur, and he invented Velcro. So you've always got to be on the lookout, because you never know when inspiration is going to strike.
But his name was not Velcro itself. He didn't name it after himself.
No, that's true. I guess Mestral doesn't quite have the the ring to it.
How about another business lesson you picked up from your voluminous reading?
One other lesson I learned was to be shameless in your networking. And one example of this was the great poet Langston Hughes, who was a busboy as a young man. He was a busboy at a hotel in Washington, D.C., and he found out that a famous poet was staying at the hotel, and he brought the poet a dinner, and in the dinner plate he hid a bunch of his own poems, and that's how he got discovered. So, you know, there's always the danger he would get fired by the hotel for doing that, but he took the risk and it paid off. Mm. I mean, it helped that he had talent. You know, You don't want to put roses are red, violets are blue on the dinner plate, but it paid off for him.
There is some right mind here, but there's also right place, right time.
Right.
How about one piece of advice for anyone out there who aspires to read, as you, A.J. Jacobs, have done, the entire encyclopedia from A to Z?
Well, of course, they can read my book and save a lot of time. But for reading, I would say, you know, people ask if I skimmed, and I don't like the negative connotation of the word skim, but I did read some parts more efficiently than others. So you might want to be an efficient reader. You know, the parts on Hungarian literature, you know, 32 pages on Hungarian literature, maybe a little too much. Nothing against Hungary.
We're shortly going to play a game with you, as you're our featured game host this week, AJ. But before we do, I want to ask you one more question. It's about Wikipedia. Now, this is the online internet encyclopedia that the world is creating as we speak. You'd think it would be an experiment that never would really work, but I got to believe that Wikipedia is on your internet favorite sites list.
I go to it all the time, and in fact, I just wrote an article about it for Esquire magazine. I wrote an article about Wikipedia, and then I put it on the Wikipedia site and had them edit it, because as you know, it's entirely written by volunteers. So I put my article up, and 200 people started correcting the grammar and rewriting it, so it was quite an experience.
And it sounds like it was a positive one.
I did like it, just because it's a fascinating thing that these people are completely volunteer. I mean, there's no profit motive here. It's all about expanding knowledge and getting a little recognition among your peers.
It has to be dissatisfying, though, because the A to Z just keeps expanding. I don't know if there are more than 26 letters, but Wikipedia never stops, AJ. Will you ever tame the beast?
I know. I think it goes faster. It grows faster than I could ever read it. So it is. It's a very frustrating thing. Thank goodness for the Britannica, which is so stable.
Yeah, that may be true, but I sense maybe a sequel here. I sense another book from you. Okay, AJ, we're now going to give you a chance to show off some of that knowledge by way of our game this week. We're going to call it Fool Fact or Fool Fiction. And here's how it works. AJ will read a statement. Our player will have to decide whether that statement is true or false. And because I don't know the questions this week, they're AJ's questions, I get to play along as well and maybe add some value. Our player will get a full ball cap for each correct answer, and our player this week is Wendy from Grapevine, Texas. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks a lot.
Okay, with that said, it's time to play our game Fool Fact or Fool Fiction. This week, as I mentioned, AJ is our host. AJ, why don't you start us off with your first question?
All right, here's a question. Procter & Gamble was the first to mass market heroin. Is that Fool Fact or Fool Fiction?
Wendy, this is your job. If I can help, I will. But I'd like to hear, what do you think about that?
Well, that's interesting. My initial reaction was no. But then I stopped and thought about, 100 years ago, I know cocaine was legal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's possible.
I think we should go Fool Fact on this one. I'm leaning that way as well. I don't think that AJ would be devilish enough to lead with something like that if it weren't true, but I could be wrong.
We could be fooled.
Let's agree on Fool Fact on this one. AJ?
Oh, I'm afraid I am a little bit devilish.
Oh, you let us down a path.
The Bayer Aspirin Company was the first to mass market heroin. They started selling it in 1898, and not as a cure for headaches, but as a cough suppressant. And they realized in about 1913, maybe not the best idea, and got out of the heroin business. But for a while, there was heroin cough syrup and heroin lozenges. It was very popular.
Did it suppress coughs, is what I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
It worked.
You know, there's the downside of being an addict, but I guess it did suppress coughs.
Mm. And I obviously didn't help there, Wendy. It is a reminder that I do not know the answers this week. AJ Jacobs is our host. I haven't seen the questions, and unfortunately, if I'd seen the answers, we would have gotten that one right. AJ, next question.
Next question is, Botox was first used to treat crossed eyes. Is that Fool Fact or Fool Fiction?
That seems fictitious to me.
Why? I'm assuming you don't have fact here, because I certainly don't, but you do have intuition. What is that based on?
Well, I'm just trying to think of how injecting that into a person would in any way correct crossed eyes, and
right.
I just don't see the relationship.
Yeah. Was it the Steve Martin movie, The Jerk, where the judge, even the judge had those spectacles that he'd mass manufactured. Everybody had their eyes getting crossed. It was the glasses. So
true.
I don't think it was Botox, because I think it was the glasses. Shall we say?
And I did learn in the encyclopedia that the philosopher Rene Descartes had a fetish for cross-eyed women. That was one of the strangest facts.
I'm amazed, AJ, to think that was in the encyclopedia.
I don't know why it was in there, but I guess it's good to know there's someone out there for everyone.
Okay, we're gonna go with Fool Fiction.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I feel terrible.
Oh, man.
It's not approval from the FDA for strengthening eye muscles in those with crossed eyes. And only later was it found to remove wrinkles from foreheads.
We're just bombing this.
I'm assuming neither you nor I has actually ever injected Botox, Wendy?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, so I think that's where we fell down on this one.
I wouldn't think of doing it.
Yeah. Okay, AJ, next question.
Next question. The Lacoste emblem, the emblem on the Lacoste shirt, mm-hmm. is an alligator. Fool mm-hmm. fact or fool fiction?
Oh, no, this I know is true. That's a fact.
Okay, we're going to go fool fact, and we'll explain why later.
Are you going to be kidding? It's not an alligator?
Do we have consolation prizes?
Oh, don't tell me it's a crocodile. Don't tell me it's a crocodile.
I got to tell you, it's a crocodile.
Oh, now that's a trick question.
For that. You got it in there at the last minute, right?
We might give half a ball cap there. I feel as if I haven't helped at all, and we still do have, I think at least one more question for Wendy to walk away with a full ball cap. But, AJ, is that in the encyclopedia?
It is, because Rene Lacoste was the man who founded the company. He was a French tennis player in the 1920s and 30s, and he was nicknamed Le Crocodile for his fancy crocodile luggage. And many people think it is an alligator, but it is officially a crocodile, as they'll tell you on the website, the Lacoste website.
Oh, man,
I think that was a trick question. But this one you're going to get. I know. I feel good about this one.
All right.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Heinz had 57 varieties when it came up with the slogan, 57 varieties. Fool, fact, or fool, fiction?
I'm going to say fact.
And what's your thinking there on fact, Wendy?
Well, it's the most reasonable explanation I've heard for Heinz 57.
Are you sure, though? I mean,
Okay, are you going to lead me astray here? I mean, okay, the only other reasonable explanation I can think of for 57 is maybe there's 57 different ingredients or spices.
I'm thinking it might be something more like that. With a ball cap on the line, I'm thinking the 57 varieties is a little too convenient for AJ.
Right. The question is, Heinz had 57 varieties.
Yeah.
And it came up with its slogan, 57 varieties.
Right. I think we should go.
But you know what? You're responsible now.
I am. You know what? The fact is, if we're wrong on this one, Wendy, I will send you a ball cap anyway, because I will be personally responsible for not having helped.
All right. So we'll say that that's fiction then.
Oh.
Right.
Wow. I feel so relieved. And Dave, if you can breathe a sigh of relief. Henry Heinz came up with his slogan in 1896. And he had many more types of food in production then. But he was a bit of a... He liked the occult, and the numbers 5 and 7 had special meaning for
him. Oh, my golly.
Numerology. So he decided to go with 57 varieties.
You know, you learn something new every day, we're told, but with A.J. Jacobs on the Motley Fool Radio Show, you learn something new about every 15 seconds. Thank you, A.J., for a few great questions there. Wendy, by the way, what are your favorite numbers? Are you one of those... numerologists?
Oh, I wouldn't say I'm a numerologist, but 7 is my lucky number.
Okay. So it was today because it was part of 57, which was your correct answer on the Motley Fool Radio Show, leading you to a Motley Fool ball cap on this edition of this special edition of Fool Factor, Fool Fiction. Thank you, Wendy.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
Good luck to you. Hold the line to get your cap. AJ Jacobs, I want to thank you again for an informative interview as always. And you were even a game show host today. I don't know if you've done that before, but we would invite you back anytime to do that on this show. Thank you,
sir. I'd love to come back. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, AJ. That was AJ Jacobs, the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Know-It-All, now available in paperback. You can always hear this game and this show online at fool.npr.org. And for more Fool Radio when you want to hear it, subscribe to the Motley Fool Interviews podcast. It's an audio file that's delivered to your computer or your MP3 audio player. Just visit npr.org and click on NPR Podcasts to learn more.